South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I am John Tanza. This program is recorded via remote, and here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, April 6th, 2020. A UN staff tested positive for COVID-19 in South Sudan.
We'll monitor the situation. What will happen after this case is that we'll do the tracing of the individuals that have got into contact with the lady.
And markets in South Sudan's capital remain crowded despite government directives asking people to keep social distancing.
People are very many, so they decided to align to stand in a row so as to get whatever they want.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The South Sudan government and the United Nations mission in South Sudan announced the country's first case of COVID-19 over the weekend. UNMISS says a UN staff member who entered South Sudan nearly 5 weeks ago from the Netherlands through Addis Ababa tested positive for COVID-19. Wake Simon Wudu reports for VOA from Juba.
First Vice President Riek Machar, who is the deputy chair of the South Sudan High-Level Task Force on COVID-19, says the government is tracing people who came into contact with the woman since she entered South Sudan February 28th.
We'll monitor the situation. What will happen after this case is that we'll do the tracing of the individuals that have got into contact with the lady. Most likely would be tested to see whether they have got infected or not.
Machar says the task force may impose more preventive measures should things escalate. Machar called on law enforcement agencies to strictly enforce all government directives on combating the spread of the coronavirus.
Depending on how spread the disease will be, this is when we'll take more measures.
Machar told the journalists at Juba's Pyramid Hotel Sunday that the UN staffer had presented to a UN clinic on April 2nd with fever, cough, headache, and shortness of breath. He says the case was confirmed on Saturday at the South Sudan Public Health Laboratory. Machar says the Ministry of Health's rapid response team collected samples from the woman the same day, and initial tests came back positive, as did a second test. UNMISS Chief David Sierra says nearly 2 weeks ago, UNMISS quarantined 150 individuals who arrived in South Sudan on the last flights into Juba. He says most of those showed no signs of the virus, but dozens are still isolating as a precaution. Sierra says healthy officials are checking who the infected person came into contact with since arriving in Juba.
As the patient has been in the country for nearly 5 weeks, way longer than the 14 days, we need to check where that person's been, both to ascertain the people that she's come in contact with, to perhaps have got the virus, but also to make sure that we don't ensure that anything more further is passed on.
The government and UN agencies have called on the public to strictly follow preventive measures aimed at stopping the spread of the virus. Olusayo Olu, World Health Organization representative to South Sudan, emphasized the importance of social distancing and frequent hand washing.
There are 2 to 3 ways in which you can contract the disease. It has a droplet in the air, so you can actually breathe it. But importantly, it can also rest on surfaces. So as we move forward, as we try to social distance ourselves, let's also make sure that we don't touch unnecessary surfaces. Let's also ensure that when we touch surfaces and our hands are not clean, don't let us touch our face. So I think the message is hand washing.
Sierra pointed out there is no cure for the virus.
We can only treat it. And therefore, as the first vice president just said, the only vaccination we have at the moment is to distance ourselves from each other and take the precautions. If we don't take the precautions, then we are going to have a much more difficult situation.
South Sudan closed its borders and Juba International Airport on March 23rd. The government is advising all businesses, public and private, to have their employees work from home. For VOA News, I'm Wak Simon Wudu in Juba.
Still on COVID-19, Sudanese authorities have announced two more confirmed cases of the disease in Sudan, bringing the total number to 12 positive cases. The country's health minister says the new two cases include an 11-year-old girl who was infected locally. Some civil society activists are creating awareness about COVID-19 in camps for internally displaced persons in Darfur and in refugee camps for South Sudanese across Khartoum State. Michael Atit reports for VOA from Khartoum.
Sudanese Health Minister Akram Atom told reporters in Khartoum last night that one of the two new cases is an 11-year-old girl who was infected by case number 9. Atom says the other new case is a 67-year-old man from India who arrived in Sudan on March 21st through a connecting flight from the United Arab Emirates. Atom says it is sad that Sudan has recorded the first case of a child testing positive for COVID-19. Speaking in Arabic, he says the girl is receiving medical treatment at an isolation center in Jabra Hospital.
The 12th case is an 11-year-old girl who got infected locally through her father, who was identified as case number 9, which tested positive for COVID-19.
As the number of cases arise in Sudan, some Sudanese activists are working to educate vulnerable communities, including refugees and internally displaced persons, about how to protect themselves. Muhammad Adam is a Sudanese lawyer and a human rights activist who is a member of Sawa Sawa campaign group, which means together in Arabic. Speaking in Arabic, Adam says they are targeting all IDP camps in Sudan's Darfur region due to lack of services in the area.
The program also will include all the villages adjacent to the camps. Some of these villages are far from the towns and they are lacking a lot of services. Some of them don't even have access to any radio station, and in that case, it is difficult for them to even know anything about this disease.
Taza Emilio Ayo, a South Sudanese activist who works with the organizations providing health services among South Sudanese refugees in Khartoum State. She says she and other activists visited Jebel Awliya camp last week to educate some 4,000 refugee families about preventive measures. She says many of the refugees were unaware of the virus.
We have got a lot of cooperation and acceptance about the program, and some of them said they had heard some little information from the radio and TV. But now they are fully aware about the COVID-19. With the help from the Ministry of Health, we are able to provide them with narrative chart, booklets, and many other materials about the COVID-19.
Atom says out of the 12 confirmed cases, 3 were infected inside the country by relatives who arrived recently from abroad.
Let's continue with the awareness raising and other necessary support with the help of our partners within the country, the business community, and in collaboration with other friendly countries.
Atom reiterated that citizens should avoid any kind of gatherings or travel between states, as well as entering the country from any neighboring country, since Sudan closed its borders. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
The United Nations reports the presence of the COVID-19 in Sudan is forcing a radical change in the way humanitarian aid and services are being delivered to millions of people in need of assistance. The World Health Organization confirms 10 cases of COVID-19, including 2 deaths in Sudan. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
In an effort to prevent the spread of COVID-19 in Sudan, the government in Kinshasa and UN agencies are implementing a series of social distancing measures. They include an overnight curfew, the closure of schools, and staff reductions in some key government offices. The UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs reports 9.2 million people in Sudan need humanitarian aid, including nearly 3 million refugees and internally displaced people. New ways of delivering aid are being implemented to protect them, as well as international aid workers, from becoming infected by this deadly virus. For example, OCHA spokesman Jens Laerke says 2 to 3 months of food rations will be distributed at one time to prevent the spread of COVID-19 by limiting the frequency of large gatherings of people.
To reduce possible risks of exposing malnourished children, there will be an increase in the supply of ready-to-use therapeutic food, which will reduce the frequency of visits by health staff in nutrition centers. Also, new guidelines and procedures are being developed to make sure that health workers can continue to deliver immunization, nutritional supplements, and maintain infant and young child feeding programs in this new reality.
Gender-based violence is a big problem in Sudan and likely to worsen as the humanitarian crisis deepens. In keeping with the new social distancing policy, Laerke tells VOA that various activities involving large gatherings of people have been suspended. These include training workshops and meetings on gender violence awareness.
However, and that's important, of course, individual case management and individual counseling and referrals, for example, to health facilities and what they call GBV, gender-based violence confidential corner services, so where women can speak in confidence to counselors. That continues.
There is limited information on the exact number of sexual and gender-based violence cases across Sudan. However, a 2014 survey suggests 34% of women aged 15 to 49 are victims of domestic violence. The UN reports very few clinical and specialized psychosocial support and counseling services are available in Sudan to help victims of rape and other forms of sexual and domestic abuse. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Markets for food items across South Sudan's capital, Juba, remain crowded despite government directives for people to keep a social distance to avoid catching the coronavirus. Some Juba residents and retail traders say shops and stores that offer goods at cheaper prices are overcrowded. Lasuba Memo reports for VOA from Juba.
After word spread on Sunday of the first confirmed case of COVID-19 in Juba, many people rushed to the markets to buy food items for fear the government would impose a total lockdown. Collier Corbos, a retail trader who sells wheat flour, onions and cooking oil, rushed to buy more food to resell yesterday. Corbos says he stood in line for several hours at a food store.
I went down there, Gator Road, but to buy some stuff, but there was no way. So people are very many, so they decided to align to stand in a row so as to get whatever they want.
Corbeau says some wholesalers hike prices of food items after rumors spread that the government would impose a complete lockdown and all shops would be forced to close. Speaking in Arabic, Susan John says she went shopping on Sunday to buy flour and stood in a queue for hours.
Here the prices are better than in the other state and one can afford. That is why I am here standing in a queue, and to me such a place should not be closed. Let people come, but one at a time.
33-year-old Sunday John was among shoppers who queued in front of a wholesale shop yesterday. Speaking in Arabic, John says many people do not follow the government order to practice social distancing of standing 6 feet or 2 meters apart.
The orders have not worked out, and if we are to adhere to it, it means people will suffer so much. We cannot get other way. If I want something from you, because the distance is too far.
Korbos is calling on the government to stop price gouging.
This support charity, they're supposed to put soap and water here, so everybody who is getting in or getting out have to wash his hands.
On Sunday, the government's high-level task force on COVID-19 appealed to the public to observe the guidelines aimed at preventing the spread of coronavirus, including social distancing, frequent hand washing, and avoiding crowds. For VOA News, I'm Nasuba Memo in Juba.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, Pope Francis has a message for young people. Find out more after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
why do you think more young people are turning away from farming?
You know, for you to farm, to be a farmer, you have to wait. I'm waiting, and you know, these guys, they don't want to wait. They want the money now. They don't want you to maybe you plant your corn or maize or yam, and you have to wait till probably like how many months before it germinates and before you can even harvest.
Maybe because they feel or they view farming to be an old occupation or vocation that I'm mostly for the villagers. But then I feel farming is one that I know you can generate money from.
In most cases, young people in Africa think white collar jobs are the most earning. But in the real sense, it's the reverse.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America via remote. Doctors' Union in South Sudan say its members are not prepared to handle cases of the COVID-19 pandemic. The group issued a statement last week calling on the government to do more to prepare doctors and equip health facilities with necessary tools to fight COVID-19. The union says doctors have no gloves, masks, or other protective equipment. Dr. Anthony Garang, deputy chairperson of the South Sudan Doctors Union, says doctors are usually on the front line fighting diseases, but the government has done little to train medical workers on how to handle COVID-19. Ding Magot reports for VOA from Juba.
Doctors say they do not have gloves, masks, or other protective equipment. They say doctors are usually on the front line of fighting diseases, but the government has done little to train medical workers for treating cases of COVID-19. Dr. Anthony Garang is deputy chairman of the South Sudan Doctors Union.
The doctors, you know, both in public and private sector, are not adequately engaged or mobilized, you know, for a continued response against any COVID-19 situation in the country. And by this, we have to actually call on the Ministry of Health and its partners to prioritize, you know, training of clinicians.
Dr. Garang says the number of doctors being trained to treat COVID-19 cases is insufficient. He's also concerned about the level of preparedness in South Sudan's health facilities.
Our other concern was about the equipment and capacity limitations of the current facility that is designated for COVID-19 case detection and management, that is the Emergency Operations Center. Having a facility that is designated, that facility is too small. You know, currently it has only 24 beds and it doesn't have, you know, ICU equipment.
Dr. Garang says the government should equip health facilities in other states to accommodate COVID-19 cases and consider opening up large buildings to be used as makeshift hospitals.
We have universities that are closed. We have schools that are closed. They can also be designated, and we prepare equipment. If there is any situation, then those equipment can quickly be put out there, and that facility can be used for case detection or management.
Dr. Makur Matur Koryom, Undersecretary in South Sudan's Health Ministry, says the ministry is training health workers to treat COVID-19 cases, and the government is working to procure protective gear for them.
Once we finish with training the staff in Juba, we roll this out to other states. So it's a process, not ending today or tomorrow, but we have to continue doing that as long as the pandemic is still around. To have hospitals instead, absolutely, you can just turn any part of the hospital into isolation. It's just, but of course, we need more equipment, we need more facilities to be able to respond.
Dr. Maker Isaac, Medical Director for Juba Teaching Hospital, says the facility has a ward prepared to manage COVID-19 cases.
We examine the patient and see whether this patient fit the characteristic of the COVID-19 so that we test them more. We have the tests here in Juba, in the public health lab.
Dr. Isaac says the hospital has begun distributing masks to doctors and nurses and is working to acquire more protective gear. The Medical Doctors Union is urging the government to exempt importers of medical emergency equipment and COVID-19 protective gears from paying taxes, at least for now. For VOA News, I am Ding Magot in Juba.
The world crossed the 1 million mark of confirmed COVID-19 cases last week, with untold millions more possible in the months to come. Scientists are committed to making a vaccine. VOA's Carol Pearson reports.
There's a lot about COVID-19 that scientists still don't know. They don't know entirely how it is spread. And without proven treatments or vaccines, good hygiene and staying away from other people are the only known methods of prevention. Dr. Peter Hotez at Baylor College of Medicine started working on a coronavirus vaccine in 2003 during the outbreak of SARS. But after that, research funds dried up. Hotez expects more coronaviruses to develop and spread. Some may be more benign than COVID-19. Some may be far deadlier.
Pandemics for coronaviruses have become a new normal that we saw with SARS in 2003, we saw with MERS in 2012, and now this one. So we can expect a new major coronavirus every decade.
Which is all the more reason to develop a vaccine, even after the COVID-19 infections taper off and life gets back to normal.
We're developing a vaccine for global health purposes. We're very concerned what happens when this virus moves into the crowded urban areas, slums of Mumbai and Kolkata and Delhi. How do you practice social distancing there? You basically can't. So that's why a vaccine is going to be very important for places like India, and that's become our big priority right now.
Hotez is one of a number of scientists working on a vaccine for COVID-19, on treatments for the sick, and methods to protect healthcare workers. He also knows that clean water is not available everywhere around the world, that it's possible that COVID-19 will be a recurring virus, and that there will likely be a new coronavirus emerging in the coming years. Carol Pearson, VOA News, Washington.
Pope Francis urged young people on Sunday to look at the real heroes now as the world is dealing with the coronavirus pandemic. In his Palm Sunday Mass in an empty St. Peter's Basilica, he said the real heroes are those giving themselves to serve others. Sabina Castelfranco has more for VOA from Rome.
Pope
Francis celebrated Palm Sunday Mass behind closed doors and with no audience from the altar of the chair at the back of St. Peter's Basilica. It was the start of a Holy Week unlike any experienced before at the Vatican or elsewhere in the world. Addressing the world's faithful who watched on television or on the internet, Pope Francis told them to have courage in the tragedy of the pandemic, in the face of the many false securities that have now crumbled, in the face of so many hopes betrayed, and in the sense of abandonment that weighs upon people's hearts.
Il dramma che stiamo attraversando in questo tempo ci spinge.
The Pope said that the tragedy we are experiencing summons us to take seriously the things that are serious and not to be caught up in those that matter less, to rediscover that life is of no use if not used to serve others. The Pope urged the faithful to reach out to those who are suffering and those most in need. He told them not to be concerned with what they lack, but with what good can be done for others.
Amare, pregare, perdonare, prendersi cura degli altri.
Loving, praying, forgiving, caring for others in the family and in society, all this can certainly be difficult. It can feel like a via crucis, the Pope said, referring to the way of the cross. The Pope told young people to look at the real heroes who come to light in these days. They are not famous, rich, and successful people, he said. Rather, they are those who are giving themselves in order to serve others. Feel called yourselves to put your lives on the line, he said. Sabina Castelfranco for VOA News, Rome.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
That's our show for this Monday. We now leave you with the song Mama Rose by a traditional Acholi group from Eastern Equatorial State. You've been listening to a traditional Acholi group from Eastern Equatoria State with the song Mama Rose. I'm John Tanza, and remember to join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.